Welcome to Off the Record, talking real estate with Joe and Michaela. If you're interested in the Portland, Oregon real estate market and want the unvarnished inside scoop, you've come to the right place. Thanks for giving us a listen.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for listening today. Joe, how are you?
I'm good, Michaela. How are you?
I'm good. It is Thursday, our podcasting day. This weather is horrible, but...
We're doing the Leap Day broadcast here.
Yes, we are.
Happy Leap Day.
Happy Leap Day.
It was 38 and snowy raining just a few minutes ago.
It's disgusting.
Hang on, people. Spring is coming.
I hope so.
Yeah.
The groundhog did say that spring was going to be early this year, so... Leaning on that.
I'm not a groundhog guy.
Why?
An animal doesn't know his head from his behind when it comes to weather. Wasn't he wrong in like the last 6 out of 7 or something like that?
Yeah, but because it's hopeful this year, I'm going to lean on that.
Oh, it was hopeful?
Yeah.
Well, then I can get behind him then.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really excited about this episode today.
I am too.
Because we've talked about this a couple of times, but I think it's important to bring it up again because we have a lot of people who are considering buying for the first time. The spring season always tends to get people excited back in the market. And we've had a lot of questions lately, so we wanted to kind of sum it all up in one episode and hopefully debunk some myths because I keep seeing crazy things on the internet about how hard it is to buy a home when I think it's simpler than people think.
Yeah, and it's an individual thing. I mean, all these discussions and prognosticators and everyone make these broad proclamations on the internet or on the news or wherever, and it really has no bearing unless they're talking about an individual person. Buying a home is an individual thing. Is it the right time for you? Are you in a financial position where you're comfortable with it? How's your job situation? Can you get out of a lease? There's a lot of different things.
Right.
And I think it's such an individual thing. And knowing that and knowing the basics that we'll go through here today and the current market, I think people can make good choices to buy homes. And we see that all the time right now. It's frustrating when there's people that get stuck in the thinking of what they hear or what they read on the internet and this type of stuff. I think a lot of people would be surprised at the fact that they could afford a home and be in a new home and start building equity and be a homeowner if they just started the process and started doing the research for what their personal situation is.
I agree. And that's why I love buyer consultations, because we can really break it down with people and then make a good recommendation as to if we think it is a good time or not for them to buy. I think a lot of people think if they talk to a realtor or a mortgage broker that we're somehow going to like bamboozle them into or pressure them into buying, which
you did twist that one guy's arm and then make him sign. That was bad.
Right. Held him down.
That didn't happen.
I was going to go with that. But yeah, I think it's worth having the conversation if it's something you're even a little bit interested in. So I want to talk about the pros of owning, because I think first off, there's a pride of ownership. You are prideful of your home and keeping it nice and up to date and doing little projects on it. And I think that's a
cool the American thing.
Yeah, it
you
is.
Know, to be American. A homeowner. And you know, I think we've gotten away from that a little bit. And it's nice to be able to call somewhere home, call it your own. And be able to make it your own little castle.
Personalize it. And have pets if you want to have pets and all of those fun things. But one thing I always tell people that's nice about owning versus renting is that your monthly payment is going to stay consistent. So when you're renting, you never really know. I mean, every year there's a chance that they could increase rent. So having that consistency and knowing that you qualified for this certain mortgage amount and it's going to stick around for as long as you wanted to, I think is comforting.
Yeah. I remember when my wife and I were renting before we bought our first home, and all I could think about was, I am paying someone else's mortgage right now. And that just, that bugged me.
Yeah.
You know? That and being a young real estate broker and not having my own house, that always stuck with me, that I was paying someone else's mortgage. That didn't sit well. So
yeah, you're by paying your mortgage, you're paying towards your investment every single month. It's a good thing. You're building equity every month. We know that a real estate is an appreciating value year over year. It's important to time the market when you do want to sell and make sure that it is an appropriate time and you are going to see a good return. But typically speaking, the trends show that real estate appreciates.
Over time, home ownership is a great investment. And in fact, we'll have some charts for you on liveportland.com, livportland.com. If you go to this podcast episode, we'll have some information to kind of back those things up and also show you what equity can do for you over a certain amount of time. which is always kind of a cool thing to see. But I think we want to talk about where rates are right now, mm-hmm. and also look at 3.5% down versus 20% down, FHA, conventional loans, that type of thing.
Yeah, it feels like that's a lot of information, but I think it's important for us to share, because the thing that is scaring buyers right now is interest rates and if they are too high and if this is a good time for them to even be looking into this. So we went to our friend Todd Gettison. He's one of our trusted mortgage brokers, and we went to his website, Vantage Mortgage Group, and they have this great
live rate tracker. Yeah, live rate tracker. It's fantastic. We'll get a link on our website to that too.
Yes.
If you want to go to Live Portland and grab that link, but let's take a look at it. So FHA 30-year fixed, it looks like with 3.5% down, you're looking at about an APR of right around 7% right now. So on a $450,000 purchase with $15,750 down, which is 3.5%, you're looking at a 7% monthly payment of about $2,800.
Okay.
And for everyone that's, all of us are rate sensitive. Everyone wants the best rate. And just a reminder that rates go up, rates go down. Getting yourself into the home, as long as it's financially comfortable for you and makes sense, locks you in, unless you're doing an adjustable rate mortgage, which, you know, that's a whole nother conversation. But with what we're talking about right here, you get locked in at that 7%, you know where your payment's going to be. And if it goes down, when it goes down, you can always refinance that rate and save yourself some money. Mm-hmm. And like Michaela was saying, you don't have to worry about, oh no, my landlord's bumped this up to 3,000 or 3,100 now. You can rest assured you're going to have that payment amount, you're building equity, and you can lower that interest rate at some point down the line when rates go down.
You can refinance as soon as 6 months too. So if you can at least have a light at the end of the tunnel, you know, mm-hmm. maybe being able to lower that monthly payment just a tad, I think that's helpful for people to know. And a lot of mortgage brokers are offering free refinances for the first 5 years because they know that people are so worried about rates right now. So definitely consider interviewing a couple brokers and seeing what they have to offer with these packages.
Yep. So that's FHA 30-year fixed, conventional 30-year fixed. Let's look at that with 20% down. Let's say you've been saving, you know, maybe you have some people that are giving you gift funds, but you're able to do 20% down on that same $450,000 purchase. Right now, rates are going to be on a conventional 30-year, you're looking at right around 7.35, somewhere in there. With 20% down, even though the rate's higher, your payment is going to be at around $2,400.
Wow. Right? That's crazy.
Yeah. So, and maybe you have that 20% down and you're trying to figure out, okay, do I go with the 20% down conventional, or do I only do 3.5% and have a little bit higher payment every month, but I've saved my cash to do whatever you need to do with that, including maybe fixing up the home or spending that money on reducing debt or whatever the case might be.
Mm-hmm. I just think that's crazy and important to highlight, because the difference to me, at least, between 16, let's say round up 16,000 down versus 90,000 down mm-hmm. feels so significant to me.
Oh, huge.
But the difference in a $400 in a monthly payment doesn't seem as bad.
Right.
Which $400 monthly extra is a lot, but if you can, you know, move some things around or mm-hmm. cancel a golf membership or a gym membership, you know, you might be able to make it more feasible. So I think it's good to point out.
Or hold off on those Pilates classes.
Hey, those aren't going anywhere. But it's about what I would have to give up.
You got to draw the line somewhere, Michaela. I understand. But you took a cheap shot when you said doing away with the golf membership.
That I looked you right in your eyeballs too. That was personal.
That was personal. Wow.
I think that was more towards my husband.
Spring is right around the corner, Michaela. Mm-hmm. We need those memberships.
Well, you need to make up for it then.
Oh, we will. You spring comes around, you're never going to see your husband and I again. We're gone.
All right.
We're fine. On the links.
Fine.
So let's talk about current market conditions. What do the current market conditions look like? Because we are in a volatile market. They go up, they go down, things change, things stay the same. What are you seeing?
Well, it seems like the last week of January and on, there's been way more activity in the market than there has been for the last 4 months. We're seeing lockbox activity up, which is something that we pay attention to. So that, you know, we track that to see how many people are showing houses. We've seen more people showing our listings, more people offering on the listings that we currently have. So just more movement in the market in general, but inventory is still really low. So when they're
comparatively speaking, so it was at like 1 month inventory.
True.
And remember, people, months of inventory is defined by if you didn't add any more new homes to the market at the current rate, how fast would the marketplace be out of homes to sell? And it used to be like one or under one. Mm-hmm. It was so scarce. And now it's up to 3.2. 6% is considered an equal balance between buyers and sellers. That's when there's not one side favored. 5 to 6 months is usually the benchmark. So it's still very much a seller's market, but it's inching towards being a more balanced marketplace.
Thank you for explaining that.
You're welcome.
Just from my perspective, when I'm looking for on behalf of buyers, it just feels like there's nothing to even go see. So that's where I feel like there's just no inventory. But I think
the affordable price points are still so incredibly tight.
Mm-hmm. And you just have to be patient.
You know where I'm seeing a lot of homes come on the market? Not a lot, but consistently things are hitting the market is out at the beach and towards the mountain. You know, out of the urban core, things start to feel like there's more and more inventory.
Interesting. Yeah. I've been checking my beach houses and
oh, I keep an eye on the beach and the mountain too.
Yeah. So I need to peek at the mountain a little more. That's a fun one to look at. We both really want to talk about the current inventory that's available today for first-time home buyers.
I'm going to let you do that because that's pretty cool.
I think it's fun to look at and it's encouraging. So I did a little search for single family homes that are 450,000 or less. And then I also added a filter. You can do an FHA, conventional USDA, VA loan. A lot of times homes at the 300,000 price point aren't financeable because they have so much work that needs to happen to them. So maybe,
deferred maintenance.
Yeah, their roof could be literally caving in and you couldn't finance a home like that. Yeah. So it completely takes a section of the homes out of your search. So I added that so we could look at realistic numbers. And there are 102 homes available in the North Portland, Northeast, Southeast Portland pocket. And then in the Milwaukee, Gladstone, Happy Valley market, there's 9 homes on the market for 450,000 or less. And then on the other side of the pond, on the Northwest, Southwest, South Raleigh Hills area, there were 19 homes on the market today, which is great.
Yeah.
Surprising. And then Beaverton, Alloa, Tigard, Hillsborough, Sherwood area, there's 20 homes currently on the market for that.
That surprised me. I thought there'd be a little bit more in that area.
I thought so too. But I did pull this morning, so, you know, there could be a little more this afternoon.
There could be.
Thursday is the day that people like to list property, so there could be more. So I thought that those were encouraging.
Yeah, so there are numbers. Homes out there. You know, you can even go outside of what we just talked about, outside Portland Metro, look at North Plains, down to Newburgh, McMinnville, Scappoose, St. Helens, those areas, and I think you'll find some inventory up there as well.
Yeah. When we talk to first-time home buyers, something that we always discuss is townhouses and condos and the pros and cons of buying those. And that's something we wanted to highlight today because we, you know, previously have just been talking about single-family homes. And I think that, you know, owning a condo can be great for a number of different reasons. It's a great way for you to get your foot in the door. And there can also be more affordable options there. So,
yeah, very low maintenance. Mm-hmm. Easy home ownership. It's interesting. I don't know if a lot of people know this, but during the gangbuster years, 2020 to 2022, early 23, when single family homes, residential was going nuts, condos were a little bit depressed and their prices came down. And I think now I'd say they're a little bit out of the bottom of the pricing. They're starting to come up in some places a little bit, but there are still so many great deals on condos that were $100,000 or $200,000 more. In a lot of places, a condo that was $500,000 five or six years ago might be $400,000, $425,000 now, right? But those prices are now starting to come up because more and more people are saying, okay, if I can't get into a home at this price point, I'll do a condo. Mm-hmm. But there's a couple of things you need to remember about that, right? You're going to have some HOA fees usually, right?
Exactly, which does not help your monthly payment. So if you are in the market for a condo and you're worried about your monthly payment, we'll just filter it to look for buildings that have lower HOA fees. So maybe they're $100, $200. But sometimes, you know, if you're in inner downtown area, they can be as high as $600 a month. So definitely something to pay attention to. HOAs can be nice too. They help a lot with maintenance and allow for amenities in the building.
Yeah, some have some very nice amenities.
So if you're, you know, if the building has a gym and then therefore you don't have to pay for a gym payment, that could factor in, and just all things to consider. And then the other thing we recommend when you're considering buying a condo is to get a good return on your investment. You want to plan on living there a little bit longer than you would a single family home. So single family, we say 3 to 5 years at least. And then a condo, we say closer to 5 to 7 years.
Yeah. And it depends on the situation a lot of times, but typically if you can be in a condo for 5 years, you're going to be fine. You're going to get some money out of that. You're going to do good. And it's just a matter of like what building, what area, what's hot, what's not, all those type of things. Mm-hmm. And there are definitely, just like different neighborhoods go up and go down, there's buildings and HOAs that go up and go down, depending on things. So let's talk about the overall cost breakdown. What's it going to cost me, Michaela, if I go out, look for homes with you, and boom, I found it. Awesome. Let's make an offer. What's it going to cost me to get this thing closed?
Yeah. So this is something I like to talk about with first-time home buyers because, again, they think we're going to bamboozle them. So I like to lay this all out.
I don't know that they think that we're going to bamboozle them, but there's just so many questions and, you know.
Or I think people just don't know. Yeah.
People don't know. Yeah.
So.
Because you're very trusting.
Thank you.
Seriously.
Thank you. You are too.
Yeah. Thanks.
So aside from your down payment, once you do find a home that you love and you offer and you get that offer accepted, you are responsible for paying for the home inspection, which we definitely recommend you to have done. And it is required for the sale when you're financing. Isn't that right?
Well, yeah, pest and dry rot, you know, all those things. And an appraisal is going to happen as well.
So that inspection cost for a general inspection is typically between $500 and $700, depending on the size of the home. So smaller home, you might be able to get on the lower end of that. And then like Joe just touched on the appraisal that the bank is going to need, that typically is around $800. And then closing cost, the amount to close the loan, are typically around 1% of whatever your loan price is.
Yeah. And those are all things that you gotta budget for. So
you don't want to be slapped with that when you're already making a significant down payment. So good to know. But there's also first time buyer zero down programs, which people constantly ask us about. We aren't experts in these things, so we definitely help people do research if this is something that they're interested in. But Portland has a down payment assistance loan program, and then you can look at that on their website, and we'll post that in the show notes and on our website as well. There's a lot of different criteria that you need to fit in order to apply for those, but or qualify for those. But I think it's definitely worth looking at, especially if you want to live within the city limits of Portland. It's a little more forgiving. So something to look at. And then some VA loans and USDA loans are zero down as well.
VA is a great way to go. If you have the ability to use a VA loan, it is, that's the first thing you should be looking at, because it is a really, really cool way to go. And there's a lot of opportunity there. USDA loans are interesting.
It's not quite, it's not zero, but it's lower, right?
Much lower. And the qualifications are much easier to get qualified for, but you're not going to be able to buy in city limits.
Right.
Didn't know that until recently with USDA.
It's interesting. And you just kind of have to have the lender run it, because it kind of surprised me. Like there was a home I showed in Forest Grove that qualified for it. And I kind of thought that that was too close in, but I guess it wasn't. So really,
there's a website where you can pop any address into and it'll tell you if it's USDA qualified or not.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
We'll put it on
we'll
the website,
that
people.
As well.
Yep. You can go check it out there. And then some banks have programs too, right?
Yeah. I just did a Google search today when I was doing my notes for this episode. And it looks like some banks have some programs, but with that, you definitely want to check for hidden fees. You don't want them to bite you at the end. So but there could be something out there. It's worth
looking into and asking whoever you bank with. You've got money with them. You're a client already. Ask if they have a department that does home loans.
Yeah. I think one of the hardest conversations I have with people is, how do I save for this down payment? Mm-hmm. It just seems like an astronomical number if you've never purchased a home before to try and save. So what would be your recommendations on ways to save?
Financial literacy is a very difficult thing. Mm-hmm. And being able to sit down and do your budget and figure out how much you can save from your paychecks and how much you can live on and where you can put that money is a tough conversation. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of different resources online. There's a lot of different people you can talk to. But in the end, I think it comes down to understanding your own personal finances. And I think being able to look at your bottom line and say, okay, I can save X a month, and then sticking with that, mm-hmm, and putting it into a savings account or a high yield account that is going to pay you a little bit. The other thing is, there are ways that you can get gift funds, you know, parents, grandma and grandpa, all those type of different avenues. And sometimes that's a tough conversation. What I found is most of the people that we work with always say something to the effect of, I was so surprised. My dad, I brought it up with my dad. My dad was so happy to do it.
Yeah.
Almost never a bad conversation.
Right.
Right.
What they're going to do is say no.
Or no, or I can't.
Sorry.
Or, yeah.
I'd love to, but I can't.
Yeah. So it's definitely a hard road to go down, but being disciplined and saving and putting it away for what you're trying to get done is just the best way to go. And, you know, it pays off in the end, especially when you look at buying that first house and you stay there for 3 to 5 years, 5 to 6 years, whatever the case might be. And then you turn around and go, I wonder if I can buy a different house. Mm-hmm. And how much is my home worth? I bought it for $400,000. And, oh, wow, now it's worth $550,000. So there's your $150,000, mm-hmm, you know, estimated, of course.
Then that's, yeah.
Yeah, it's a whole nother conversation. But you have that equity right there. So your $15,000 that you put 3.5% down has blossomed into whatever you're paid off in the loan, which is probably not going to be a lot of principal in the first 3 to 5 years, but that appreciation will be there for you and you can make some changes that way.
Mm-hmm. It's all about getting your foot in the door.
Pun really is.
Intended.
Yeah. So real quickly, what do you need to fill out a loan application?
Yeah. For? So these scare people too. So like we said at the beginning of this episode, I think it's just worth applying. Just see what, you know, yeah, if it makes sense for you. And it's really not a lot of information that you need for the application. So it's your social security number, proof of employment, tax returns, and then a general idea of your credit score. So you don't need to know to the number, but if you have an idea of what bracket you're in, that's helpful. And then a list of any debts and assets.
Yep.
That's it.
It's usually a 5 to 10, 10 to 15 minute phone call with your lender. They can give you a great idea of where you stand, what you need to do, what you need to work on, or yep, you're ready to go and you can afford X. And it sounds like you've got this saved away for your down payment and this for the closing and you're good to go.
Yeah.
Which is always a fun thing.
Yes. Okay. So on Instagram today, if you don't follow us on Instagram, mm-hmm, please do. Live Portland. I did a little Q&A, you know, those, oops, see, there we are.
Whoa,
sorry. Hello. And I asked you guys, our followers, if you had any questions, mm-hmm, about buying a home. And we got one question. So thank you, mm-hmm, to this person. And they asked, what is the average price point of a home in the Portland area?
Ooh, yeah. Good one.
It is a great question.
Smart.
It's just under 600,000, is it?
599, yes.
Okay, okay.
Is the average right now. In different areas, though, you're going to find different numbers, obviously. Like Hillsboro is, I think, 518. Lake Oswego is 823. West Portland, I thought, was 670. Mm-hmm. So it's different all over the place. And that, you know, when you're a first-time home buyer, finding a affordable place to live is the key, right? And
right,
just getting your foot in the door in a place where you can call home and start to build equity and start living your life in your new house.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, we hope this was helpful. If you have any other questions, please don't hesitate to reach out, but we will post as much info as we can in the show notes and then also on our website, like we've talked about a couple times. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, everyone.